Has Jihad Incorporated really opened a branch in southern Africa? ISIS may have claimed responsibility for the overrunning of a coastal town in northern Mozambique, but its local grievances, poverty too long ignored, and militants preying on a soft target that seem to be where the blame lies for the gruesome events that have come to a head in Cabo Delgado province. We'll ask about last week's attack and past efforts to repel insurgents by Mozambique's armed forces, but also South African and Russian mercenaries. With former colonial power Portugal soon to deploy military advisors, we'll ask how to secure an area that's sitting on untapped billions, billions of euros worth of liquefied natural gas that could soon make Mozambique rich. Mozambique, but how about the Mozambicans? We'll ask about the 15 billion euro gas development project now put on hold by French energy giant Total. Yes, it's not just the north, but the whole country that finds itself at a crossroads. A nation that still bears the scar of a bloody war of independence, the subsequent civil war, covertly fueled by apartheid-era South Africa. One quarter century on, the former Frelimo resistance movement remains in power. Is reform possible? The kind that will restore faith in the system among the thousands displaced last week. Today in the France 24 debate, we're asking if we're at a tipping point for Mozambique, and joining us from the capital, Maputo, Zainata Machado, researcher at Human Rights Watch. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
From the northern city of Pemba, Estacio Valoy, investigative reporter for news site Mos 24 Horas. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
From the French city of Bordeaux, Reggio Conrado, researcher at the French Political Science Institute, Sciences Po, your work on state building in Mozambique. Thanks for being with us as well.
Thank you so much.
And we welcome back from Berlin security and counter-terror consultant Yann St-Pierre, who heads the Modern Security Consulting Group. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you for having me.
The France 24 debate on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag F24debate. Dozens still missing from the attack launched last Wednesday on Palma. And now the UN reporting that more than 5,000 have been displaced. Sharon Gaffney has more on that claim of responsibility on ISIS's propaganda channel.
Hundreds of people are still waiting for news of their loved ones after dozens were killed in a terrorist attack in northern Mozambique. As jihadists raided the coastal town of Palma, tens of thousands of residents fled for their lives by road, boat or on foot.
We heard gunshots while I was talking to my husband on the phone. He was going to the market. I lost the signal and haven't been able to get hold of him since.
I left security guards behind. I left the company, trucks, machines. I just left with the clothes on my back.
Nearly 200 people were forced to seek refuge at a hotel during the raid, among them a South African construction worker who would have celebrated his 41st birthday on Thursday. Adrian Nell's mother says he was killed in an ambush during the rescue operation.
He was just such a kind, loving, joyful person and certainly didn't deserve to die like that.
Following days of clashes with armed forces, the Islamic State group has claimed responsibility for the attack. It says it's now taken control of Palma, but government sources say the jihadists were forced to flee the town. Palma is just 10 kilometres from the site of a multi-billion dollar natural gas project being built by energy firms such as France's Total. The streets of the town are now deserted and communication has been cut off. Extremists who pledge allegiance to Islamic State have waged a three-year insurgency across northern Mozambique. The violence has claimed more than 2,500 lives and left nearly 700,000 people displaced.
And that claim that the government had secured control of Palma has been rolled back. Securing it won't be easy. Rebels still hold the port town of Mocimboa da Praia, which they captured all the way back in August. They've since seized nearby villages. On Tuesday, the military told Mozambican state television the operation to dislodge the insurgents was now still ongoing.
Resultado, mesmo hoje se puderam ter a oportunidade de ver,
nós estávamos a continuar ainda a fazer o desembarque de tropas no terreno. Então esta é uma manobra para permitir que a própria tropa possa ser infiltrada até nas zonas que nós indicamos para serem ocupadas. Essa manobra é feita com acompanhamento do tiro. Portanto, não pode ser um passeio normal, não. Tem de ser feita a cobertura com as tropas que já estão no terreno a consolidar o espaço.
Zenata Machado, have you been able to piece together what the latest is in Palma?
Not necessarily what the latest is in Palma, because as you may know, communications to Palma remain cut off, so we can't really establish what is going on in there. But we can talk to those who are arriving in Pemba, who are arriving in Montepuez, who are arriving in Mueda. And those are largely part residents of Palma who were there when the attack started on Wednesday. We also had the opportunity to talk to people just before the lines were cut off, just after the attack began on Wednesday, when we got the reports that Palma was under siege. And the picture they're giving us is not good. It's that of the armed group, in this case, the so-called Al-Shabaab, arriving in the town, firing indiscriminately against civilians, firing at buildings, creating panic, terror, and everybody running all over the place. People also told us that they saw bodies laying on the streets. And for those who are arriving, what they're telling us is they're arriving in areas of safety, the ones I mentioned. What they're telling us is that they had to walk for 3 days, 4 days until they found safety through the bush. Some were hiding in the sea at the beach until they found a boat that could give them a free ride to areas of safety. And others went to the Afungi compound, from where they then got help from Total and the authorities. What is concerned at this stage is that we don't really know what has happened with the most of the population of Palma. We are talking about hundreds missing. It could be thousands. I know for the UN is already being able to help some of the people to lead them to safety. But it's also concerning for to us at this stage that there is very little security presence in those bushes, for example, where people are walking through to help them to get to safe places in security. And as you know, walking through the bush for days, several days, they are facing all type of danger, including, for example, meeting the same gunmen who will then commit serious abuses against them. And I'm talking about kidnappings, beheadings, and so many abuses that we might not even live to be able to hear about them.
Yeah, it's been exactly 1 week since that attack of the town of Palma. Estacio Valoy, where you are in the nearby northern city of Pemba, they're awaiting, according to the French news agency AFP, two vessels with some 1,100 displaced people, some of them injured. Again, it's this question of we don't really know what's going on the ground. Your reaction to that government spokesperson, that military spokesperson's assessment of the situation?
Yes. The fact is, some of the boats did arrive with hundreds of people. And today, this night, more boats will be arriving, according to the source we spoke with, work exactly in the Pemba Harbor. In terms of flights, flights have been arriving during the day, not one, perhaps three times. Also, can people coming exactly from Palma? It's true that many of people still missing in the bush of Palma. It's difficult to come with a clear number because the situation is still volatile or critical. Shooting still going on, according to those who came. And as I'm aware, yesterday at noon, some South African troops were inside an aircraft. I don't know how many were inside, but they went to Palma. And this cries, this number of people which have been brought from Parma, some of them, they stayed about 5 days without eating.
And Estacio, when you talk about South African troops, do you mean South African soldiers or mercenaries?
No, I'm talking about South African troops. I don't know how many, because when I was at the airport yesterday, they were already inside the aircraft. The point is, yes, they did arrive, and they did fly to Palma. And according to the people who came from those places, as I said, the situation is still critical and the shooting is still going on.
Reggio Conrado, we have trouble understanding that these insurgents, A, could hold the town there of Mocimbo da Praia since last August and keep it, and now that the response of government forces on the attack on Palma has been so slow to pick up steam, it seems.
Not really. It's important to say that one of the most complicated situations that we're knowing in Cabo Delgado, mostly in that region of Palma and Mocimbo da Praia, is the fact that we have in Mozambique two kinds of problems. In one hand, the Mozambican state in this time, I think, has no all the capabilities of controlling all the movement of the terrorists. This is the first thing to know. And secondly, I think that one of the most important problems as well on this issue is the fact that our army in Mozambique has problems of military intelligence. It means that it's very complicated to go against those kind of groups without knowing how they are capable to move around the territory. But what we say as well is that in the territory that they are fighting against these terrorists, it's complicated to have all the informations. But what we say that is today, the Mozambican army is being coupled to control and to concise these groups in that region. That is the first part of the debate. The second part of the debate, and I think the Minister of Defense in Mozambique has said that the Mozambique army has been under development over the 30 years. It means after the peace agreement in 1992. So today we can say that if there is a problem of controlling the Mocimbo da Praia city, but there is also a very important thing that the army is doing, is that is succeeding to make them to not go out of this region. Because if you go, for instance, to the south of this province, I'm talking about Montepuez, Balama, Namuno, and Kwaba and Shiura, these regions are still safe until today. It means many of the attacks that are being done in the north part of the territory. But if we had an army that is not capable of controlling the territory, as we can see in Niger, in Mali, we should see things more complicated. So to answer your question, I should say that if it's true that the terrorists are controlling, I can say, the port of Mocimbo da Praia, but it's not also true to say they are controlling all the city of Palma, of Mocimbo da Praia, I would like to say. And that shows that one hand they are succeeding to control, I can say, the overshape of the movement of the territory, but in the same time, it's very complicated to do that because the Mozambican army we know today, and the Minister of Defense has agreed to say that, that there's no capability of control of the territory.
Yann St-Pierre, your thoughts on the fact that you have this insurgency, many people really caught by surprise by all of this?
Well, I mean, caught by surprise is because they haven't paid attention to all the signs that were there. We're not talking about a movement that suddenly popped up last year or 2 years ago. It's a movement that has grown out of a local insurgency. You know, the colleague from Human Rights Watch mentioned, she called them Al-Shabaab, essentially the nickname that's used for them over there. It's a local grievance. It's a local group that has developed over the years that has greatly benefited from an ecosystem that fosters and sustains terrorism. They've gotten more revenue because trafficking of illegal goods, especially heroin, has grown in that area over the last 2 or 3, 4 years. There's been more weapon smuggling. The network of these organizations, even if they're local, have been strengthened as well. That means access to more knowledge, to more capabilities. And so it's not really a surprise. These groups did not spontaneously have the capacity to control ports or to attack cities. They started out with blade weapons, attacking small villages, and progressively over the last 4 years have found themselves in a position to be able to coordinate what we could consider a sophisticated attack on high-value targets. And therefore, it's not a surprise. It's just, again, it was dismissed as being something rather trivial rather than being taken seriously.
And when IS on its propaganda channel claims responsibility, is that in effect IS giving its seal of approval? Or is it really like, oh, these guys are an answer to us?
No, it's really we're talking about co-option of a movement. This is what IS does really well. It's never really gone somewhere and say this is what we're implanting. It's always found a way to take organic groups, an organic development of an insurgency, and try to co-opt and influence its movement. And what we've seen in Mozambique, but also applies to Democratic Republic of Congo, is that the only thing that IS has been able to really influence has been the communication, has been the propaganda over the last 2 years. And so it's not necessarily the seal of approval as much as saying, well, this is part of our deal, this is what we can really contribute to. And you know, that propaganda that you mentioned has really intensified over the last few months, but has been existent since the young ones, the Al-Shabaab and that organization, did pledge to IS in the spring of 2019. And from then on, this cooperation, especially in terms of propaganda, really reinforced itself.
When we come back, we're going to look again at the reaction of the government, the president who hails from that northern region. Stay with us. You're watching the France 24 debate. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. It's the France 24 debate, and the world becoming aware of that Islamist insurgency in northern Mozambique. It's now taken or overrun, we should say, a second town after taking one over back in August. This one, Palma, right next to where they're building a liquefied natural gas facility that will tap into which promises to be some of the world's biggest reserves. We're talking about it with, from Maputo, Zenata Machado, researcher at Human Rights Watch, from the northern city of Pemba, Estacio Valoy, investigative reporter for news site Mos 24 Horas, from Bordeaux, Reggio Conrado, researcher at Sciences Po, the French Political Science Institute, and from Berlin, security and counterterror consultant Yann Saint-Pierre. Zenata Machado, 1 week on, for the first time, we've heard from Mozambique's president, Felipe Nyusi, saying this isn't the biggest attack, and saying the citizens should not let themselves be distracted by it. Your thoughts on the president breaking his silence after a week?
Okay, I don't know the reasons why he has been silent, so I'm not going to elaborate a lot on that. What I can say from his comments is that at one point I agree with him. This hasn't been by far the worst attack since this insurgency began in October 2017. We have had worst episodes. We might have had, depending on what we see at the end of this siege, a bigger number of casualties. What is different about the Palm attack is that it, for the first time, it killed foreigners and in a significant number. And it also happened near a major project from a large multinational group, which is Total. And that might have called the attention of the international media and therefore all eyes are on Mozambique at the moment. But this conflict has started it's going to 4 years in October this year. And since it started, we are talking about almost 2,000 people dead. We are talking about 500,000 people that have been displaced. We are talking about a huge humanitarian crisis that the United Nations is struggling to fundraise to sustain. And we are talking about serious human rights abuses from all the sides. It's not just by the gunmen that is so-called Al-Shabaab, but also from security forces. We have been reporting on those things. We have been documenting those abuses, not just us. Amnesty International recently published a report in which, for example, denounces abuses by not only by security forces and the Islamist group, but also by the private mercenary group that is operating on the side of the Mozambican government. So the Mozambican people have been let down for the past 3 to 4 years.
On that score, let me ask you, Zenata, do you welcome the news by Portugal that it's sending 60 military advisors?
For as long as that mission would mean to help the Mozambican forces to respect human rights, then it's welcome. Anything that is not that, then it will be concerning. And the reason why I think it's welcome if it focuses on human rights is because at some stages we believe strongly that some of the misbehaving of the security forces has to do with lack of preparation. There is an element of indiscipline, bad behavior, abuses and crime that needs to be dealt with sooner than later. It should have been dealt with long ago. Impunity cannot continue to survive in Mozambique. But there is also an element of not knowing what to do, especially when attacks happen. It's not clear what is the role of the security forces on the ground. In 3 to 4 years, we have interviewed hundreds of people, and none of them has been able to tell us what were the security forces doing for them on the ground. So clear, the Mozambican forces need to learn not only to respect human rights of detainees and civilians and everybody else that is on the ground, but also needs to learn how to help people who are running from the attacks, how to get them to safety, how to bring help to them wherever they are, how to lead them to the areas that are safe. And we haven't seen that happen. What we see is that huge numbers of people, and we are talking about hundreds and thousands of people, whenever there is attack, finding ways to safety on their own, going through the bushes on their own, staying for days disappeared without their families knowing their whereabouts. And when they arrive finally at their locations, they struggle still to find the basic things like shelter, food, medical attention, and so on. So if the European Union or the Portugal help will address those things, then it's very welcome.
Yeah, Zenata, you're pointing out that this time the world is paying attention, what with, on the one hand, the use of the ISIS brand, if you will, and also the fact that, as you say, foreigners have been killed just days before the attack on Palma. The French oil giant Total issued a press release announcing it was resuming work on the Afungi gas development project, stating that the government of Mozambique had decided the area within a 25-kilometer perimeter would be a special security area. Now, Estacio Valoy, picking up on Zenata's point, with the world paying attention, will things be different?
I think the world is starting to pay attention, as the United States say, mainly because some foreigners were working for Total were killed. The fact is, this war has been coming for many years, and now with thousands of casualties. And the other thing is the local people find themselves trapped between the so-called local Al-Shabaab and the Mozambican Defense Force, and they feel themselves useless. They end up, of course, fleeing for their life, trying to protect themselves. as one of the people was saying yesterday. I just arrived here in Pemba. I've been the first days without drinking, eating, and the government was not able to help me. And looking to this attack, it's not a surprise, because the local, so-called local Al-Shabaab, they've been, they did attack Palma and then were in that area. And the announcement of the government in total in resuming the project, and then this attack,
Estacio, I'm going to interrupt you because unfortunately the phone line that's is getting worse. Apologies for the for those technical issues. We're going to try to reconnect and cross back to you, Yann St-Pierre. The fact that this is happening in a natural gas rich area, of course, is again concentrating the minds and throwing the spotlight on it. Does that make the prospects for helping those citizens who felt ignored better, worse, the same?
I think it doesn't change anything. Yes, it does attract more attention, but the fact that Eni and Total have been, you know, clamoring about the issues that they're having and how the insecurity is endangering their projects, this has been going on for months. So, and it hasn't led to anything except for a broader involvement of mercenaries, of private contractors in that area. And, you know, what I see right now is, yes, there is more attention, but the awareness doesn't seem to have changed at all. And therefore, a lot of the issues that my co-panelists mentioned are still prevalent. I don't think they'll change anytime soon.
But we did see, we had a lot of token gestures. Let me ask you about this. Yeah. Because we had a Mozambican analyst on Tuesday who pointed to when there was the attack on that gas field in Algeria. The Norwegian company Statoil insisted upon a thorough investigation. And he said that was a positive development and thinks that the fact that Total is in the mix could be something that will put pressure on local authorities to do things right and not succumb to the kind of human rights abuses that will further fuel radicals.
I wish the comparison could hold up, but the Total doesn't have that reputation. It doesn't have that reputation in Mozambique, and the pressure that it's put on from last year on and up to now hasn't indicated anything that the type of pressure that it is putting on and other actors, not just Total. They're looking for a solution to the problem and not necessarily one that is, you know, they want a solution, period. And if that solution does require more stronger measures if need be, I think so far what's been indicated is that they won't push for such an agenda that much. And therefore, I don't think it'll change much in the current context. I think the situation in Algeria was very different. The interests were very different. And I think right now, unless there's a proper structural strategy and a way to contain the insecurity and a threat to the interests of Total and other petroleum groups in the area, I think we're going to see a policy and approach by companies that isn't necessarily more conducive for human rights.
All right. Before I turn to Reggio Conrado on this, let me just ask Zenata Machado. Do you agree with Yann St-Pierre that France's Total is not Norway's Statoil and that we shouldn't expect too much from the French oil company?
I'm not very familiar with the past activities of Total. On the specific case of Mozambique, I think Total has at least taken care of its staff and used some of the of his airlifting initiatives to also help some of the locals, for example, to leave Palma and go to Pemba. Where our concern is with Palma, with Total and its deals, especially the security deals with the Mozambican government, and we have raised those concerns in the past, is that when they discuss, well, number one, it's not transparent, it's not a process that is public, that includes the locals of those regions who are able to also make their inputs in the process of securing the areas where Total is operating. Number two, it will seem that at the end of their conversations, the statements that are released seem to be focusing very much on solely on the infrastructure that belongs to Total, on how to secure that infrastructure. The problem with that approach is that Total seems to be very comfortable with the idea of having themselves protected, but not the communities around it. And that is a problem. And my advice to them is to reconsider, if that is the case, that position, and think about what future it wants to have in Mozambique. Do they want to have a beautiful compound, super protected, and surrounded by nobody because the population of those areas would have left because of insecurity and danger? Or they want to be go down in history as a company that helped develop Mozambique and the communities around its infrastructures?
All right, Reggio Conrado, that brings us to the question that so many countries in Africa have had to ask over the last couple of decades, about whether or not having the discovery of hydrocarbons, oil or natural gas, whether it is a blessing or a curse. When you think of the people right now who are running for their lives from that northern town, what are your thoughts on how life will be for them once they start, and they expect to do so as of 2024, tapping into that liquefied natural gas?
Well, let me say something before answering your question, is that we have to understand that the state in Mozambique until now, since 2017, has been capable to constrain different movements that are acting or that being active in that region. If the state was absolutely incapable of giving its capability to control, to protect, and to avoid more damage, I think that today Cap Delgado should be occupied by all the terrorists. That is the first thing that we have to know. Secondly, we have to know that the Mozambican army has not been prepared to fight against those kind of acts. For that reason, today, it's really complicated to understand what's going on in that region. We know that really many of the people, analysts, say that the Mozambique army is not being capable of protecting people, etc.
But hang on, Reggio, how could you say that? The military in Mozambique has been fighting insurgencies almost since day one of independence in 1975. You're saying they're not equipped to fight this kind of insurgency?
No, that's not the question, because since 1977, it was a quite different war. It means it was a civil war. We knew who was fighting against. And today, it's a bit complicated because we have acts that are not possible to be understood as easy as it was, for instance, during the civil war. And today, if we ask to the Mozambique government who are we fighting to, or we are fighting against, we don't know. So we can say that today is quite different. And secondly, after the peace agreement, we know that Mozambican army has been practically underdeveloped, underreformed. So today we have a very complicated situation, and the capability of the army is not at the level of the challenges that we find today in Mozambique. For that reason, today we need absolutely people coming from Portugal, come from France, from United States, to give us a kind of a different approach of going against these groups. So it's not to say that the Mozambican army is incapable. That's not the case. But it's to say that there is a kind of monk of capability of understanding the context of this kind of movement. For instance, the Mozambican state is not capable today to control all the border of the north. The Mozambican government, the Mozambican state is not capable to control all over the coast. The Mozambican government does it not really better than this corrupts the geographical situation in Cabo Delgado. And we don't know really, as some authors, some analysts says, we don't know who are these corrupts. So we can say, in a very simple way of saying that we are in a very particular situation. Even in the country that they have been able to fight against these corrupts, we know that did not succeed, as in Niger, as in Mali, as in Chad, etc. So this is the first thing that we have to know. And secondly, and very rapidly, the Mozambican army has been capable to control a part of the territory in Cabo Delgado, so that today we are capable to have people going to Pemba, going to Montepuez, going to Chiwuru, going to different regions in the south of the province, because we know that our state is being capable of defending these regions. That is the second thing that we have to know. And thirdly,
so just very quickly, because we're almost out of time. In fact, we are out of time. Yann St-Pierre, what do you do if is it a concerted response with regional countries, particularly neighboring Tanzania, South Africa? How do you do this?
You need a regional cooperation and a real one. You need less private actors to be involved. By that, I mean the private contractors that have their own interests. You definitely need a proper coordination. I think, first and foremost, the proper awareness of the degree of the conflict and its development and its rapid development needs to be spread and to be shared and probably have a proper UN program or UN initiative that helps organize this in a better way.
Yann St-Pierre, I want to thank you so much for joining us from Berlin. I want to thank Zena Machado in Maputo, Estacio Valoy, who joined us from the northern city of Pemba, Radio Conrado in Bordeaux. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.